Welcome to the June 16th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today has the theme, The Beauty of Poetry, and is led by Worship Associate Earl Irwin.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where together we inspire, create, and transform. I'm Earl Irwin, your worship associate this morning, and our full-time minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, is away traveling to the UUA General Assembly. Wrangle, wrangle, oh how they jangle our nerves with their annoying sound. Electronic devices. Please remember to silence yours. Our opening words this morning are by Emily Dickinson, and they were suggested by Stephanie Gilmore. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears the human soul. Well, today is Poetry Sunday. Many members and friends have submitted poems dear to their hearts. Some of the poems have been written by those individuals. We've had so many wonderful poems submitted that we aren't going to be able to read them all this morning. So, if you submitted a poem but it did not make it into this morning's medley, be not discouraged. We will do this again. Today is Poetry Sunday, and it's also Father's Day. Our next poem is in recognition of Father's Day, written by Jeff Moss, selected for us by Gene Gardner, and read to us by Jim Flowers.
Jeff Moss, by the way, was head writer and composer lyricist for Sesame Street. If Little Red Riding Hood had a dad, perhaps things wouldn't have turned out so bad. He'd have taught her the useful things a dad can teach you, like the difference between grandma and a wolf who'll eat you. He'd have brought her two photographs to let her see how completely different two things can be. He'd show her a picture of his kindly old mother and say, "Grandma's one thing, a wolf is another. Grandma wants to hug you and give you a kiss. A wolf wants to eat you, and he looks like this. Big teeth, big ears, and plenty of fur. Now look at your grandma. Does a wolf look like her? Your report card was great. I know you're smart, so it shouldn't be hard to tell them apart. Now, please, get to grandma's before it gets dark. Don't go through the forest. Stay out of the park. Don't stop to talk to any wolves you meet. And don't wear that red thing when you walk down the street."
You may remember that our theme for our June services is beauty. It just happens that many of our submissions, whether out of cooperation or synchronicity, reflect that theme. Please settle in and listen as our next readers share poems of beauty.
Beauty by our own member, Linda Pfeiffer. She rests lightly on my shoulder, beauty. No passport or luggage. She travels wherever I go and to places of which I only dream. Shy, elusive, hiding in a dewdrop on a leaf or a flash of blue from a dragonfly, hovering there but overlooked, hurried past, unnoticed. She's waiting so patiently. And then there she is, boldly proclaiming the sun from behind the cloud like a halo. Look, look. Be quick, stop everything and simply look. And I breathe her in, and she catches me and holds me for that moment. And I can only exhale deeply. Beauty. She's in the soprano's aria, the spider's web, the meadowlark's warble, my granddaughter's eyes. Noble, humble, patient, proud. She's constant. Why do I ignore her? Too involved to notice how hungry I become. How sad. But she rides on my shoulder, ready with her trumpets. And when I walk out over the morning's wet grass and simply look up, there she is! Big white clouds against a blue sky, sunlight streaming over the hills to warm me, the song sparrow calling, she's here, she's here! How much I need her, and she's right here. I'm next. This poem was suggested by Dick Bauman. It's called Finding Beauty by Angela Davis. I went for a walk with my love down to an old vacant lot she took me, littered and broken up. It made me sad, made me think of myself. I asked why she took me there. She silently smiled and took my hand, led me to a place. The pavement was cracked, the ground heaped with garbage, old and new, near a makeshift shelter that someone had left. She kissed my tears away and told me to smile. When I asked why, she told me to open my eyes, leaving me confused. She said to look at the beauty surrounding us, then began to point. The doorway of the crude shack was open, and there was a spider web moist with the morning dew. Small drops formed as it ran down, and it was beautiful. A few feet away, there was a daffodil growing, thriving, despite the battered tarmac through which it found a way, standing tall and proud as well it should, and it was beautiful. Just then, we looked up, and what did we see? A blue jay landing atop the roof and began singing its song. The sun was rising, peeking over the horizon, painting it red, orange, yellow, and even violet. The sky was its canvas, and it was beautiful. She took me home, pointing at many other things. While we strolled home, when we got there, I thanked her, told her she was beautiful. She stood me in front of a mirror, telling me to find the beauty. There we stood for many long minutes. I looked, I saw, I contemplated the sorrow carved into my features, the gentle wonder in my eyes, the scars life has left upon me. And it was beautiful.
Thank you. Jennifer Thomas was our reader. I failed to introduce her. This next poem, Restoration, was written by our member Mary Ratliff. The seaside rests as gall wings tip in fond farewell to red umbrellas collapsed, white guard stands upended, sand pails spent and twisted, millions of footfalls erased. Now the beach expands so tides may rip and spindrifts backfire cold glistening tears. The sea, a tannic tea, shatters shells into blackened sand, while gulls' shadows shriek joy. their sea rights restored. The sea sponge, limbs wedged akimbo, slumbers among defiant sea oats who guard the sand dunes now. In this next poem, Spring at Mountain Lake, Giles County, Virginia, is also by Mary Ratliff. I lie again on my cool shale stone on the hearth of spring. Salt pond has risen several feet over the sleep of winter. Its surface dimples with the burps of brown trout. Burnished wings of autumn, now multicolored feathers, tiny mint leaves. I hear the veer note of a secretive thrush. A pair of courting warblers alight in the bush beside me, whispering soft sip sounds to each other. Love notes? The male, bright lemon, wears a necklace of emony droplets, the female a dimmer version. The rhododendrons where they will nest extend tight buds. Their roots protrude as shaded mossy feet. Frog choruses announce to the nodding blue violets. The characters are back. The play begins. Beauty, nature. When our planning team met to prepare this morning's service, we divided the submitted poems into categories. And yet, nature and beauty, need they be separate? And what of bugs? Certainly they are of nature, yet are they beautiful? Consider all that follows, and you decide. Now, for nature. Paula Markham.
I wrote this poem as a reflection on something Einstein was said to have said, that you can't solve a problem from the consciousness that created it. Changes. How does a frog turn into a princess? Is there a magic word to guess? But unless the word is close to a croak, how can the frog progress? Perhaps she could drink a potion, a goblet of changing wine. But what if her lips are not designed to sip from a goblet rim? And if a scaly foot should slip, might she fall in and have to swim? How shall she master the princess step when all she can practice is squat and hop? How dream the dreams a princess might when she must chant in the bog all night? This trick's not easy to arrange. She cannot change until she's changed. And so her fate is hit or miss, perhaps a tasty dragonfly, perhaps a prince to come and kiss.
The Summer Day by Mary Oliver, suggested by Jamie McReynolds. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Jennifer?
This one is by Carl Pfeiffer, Dance of the Fireflies. Come, come, watch our symphony without sound. It begins at dusk with a few simple arias close to the grass, and soon with darkness it reaches a crescendo, a double forte at level with the trees, and we are brilliant in our dance. Come, come, follow my light. Come quickly before my battery runs out. We have only a night or two to find each other. If you don't find me, I'll hide another day in the grass and come out tomorrow to perform again. But remember, our time is short and we have no encore.
Our next poet and reader is Leslie Matthews.
Hi. I'll be reading In a Cicada's Wing. Some say cicada, I say cicada, so I don't know. Okay. In a cicada's wing, green effervescence stirs awakening, a welling up from 17 years of stillness, a climbing out of subterranean sleep, and a call for becoming new beings, leaving. Shells perfectly wholly slit, empty copper calling cards of night exits, birthed from a secret dirt home to the above. Up among red maples, white pines, and short, stumpy dogwoods, wings beat synchronous, camouflaged in great buzzing song, signifying high summer. Humidity and sudden staccato rain showers, punctuating notes echoing across parched grass, entangled, embraced, central to summer's hot breaths and gentle sunsetting sighs. Soon it is time, and shining, writhing beauties, fallen like petals of a cherry tree, rasp, creeping with feeble buzzes and clicks, grounded, world-weary, having given all of their energy, all of their life force, all to trees, sky, and earth above. Lying, still glittering on grass and cement, shells once again, life within them joins the breeze, transferred, continuing on. And next, I'll be reading a poem I selected for today entitled The Waking by Theodore Retke. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I feel my fate in what I cannot fear. I learn by going where I have to go. We think by feeling, what is there to know? I hear my being dance from ear to ear. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Of those so close beside me, which are you? God bless the ground. I shall walk softly there and learn by going where I have to go. Light takes the tree, but who can tell us how? The lowly worm climbs up a winding stair. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Great nature has another thing to do to you and me. So take the lively air and lovely learn by going where to go. This shaking keeps me steady. I should know. What falls away is always and is near. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I learn by going where I have to go.
Next poem is Beyond Energy by member Chris Height. Motion amongst molecules pushes us, propels us, perpetuates the people of the planet through procreation. Generation through generation we generate, the sun with its rays ripping through the vacuum, clashing with our atmosphere, and deep inside some clandestine chloroplasts, the conception of energy, transforming to matter, speckled this sphere with oxygen. Magnesium and green grabbed the ground, greedily grasped Gondwana, groped for more territory. Terrestrial torrents took over, together teeming, tying their tenuous tendrils, finally intertwining to tame the topography for trilobites. Cacophonous was the Cambrian crescendo. Archaic arthropods armed with ambition, their enormous exoskeletons enriched with chitin, careening, crashing for survival. And now, with a nascent nation notoriously needing more, and after the storms and the swarms take form, what will we be left wanting? With the world's water wasted, will they wonder what wetness was? Hope. Here and now is housed high in the heavens. If eventually energy emerges and equality exists in every extreme on Earth, what then will the billions of brains be bound by? Perhaps a poem.
Isabel?
And this is from the Native American tradition, and it's called And Why. You shall ask, what good are dead leaves? And I will tell you, they nourish the sore earth. You shall ask, what reason is there for winter? And I will tell you, to bring about new leaves. You shall ask, why are the leaves so green? And I will tell you, because they are rich with life. And you shall ask, why must summer end? And I will tell you, so that leaves will die.
Jennifer?
Earth Song by Dick Bauman. Listen, can you hear the crystal growing on the grass, the moth-wing softness stirring in the summer air, the lark's intake of breath before the song begins, the padded footstep of the mountain lynx? There are voices all around. The ancient cypress speaks with the waving of the wind. The moon-drawn sea murmurs from its soul, waves strumming the shore. And yet, Earth's veins may soon lie dark and dry, her empty womb unbirthed. Come closer now, the whisper may be lost. What will you leave your child's child? Will there be a symphony or a cold, hard place, silent as struck stone?
Leslie.
I'll be reading a poem by member Casey Arsenault, Something Pulls the Sky Across, Lafayette, Louisiana. Something pulls the sky across, clouds wrinkling where star pegs hold them fastened. Tell about how this overarches generations. Tell about the fireflies, how the fireflies are fallen alive to prove the tenderness of stars held in an open palm. Some relationships are possible from this viewpoint, where the kudzu deprives the sense of things, attacks with a swaddling cloth and unnames them, where artifacts are scarce and heavy, cocooned in knotted lace, unrolled and often touched, and where at the root of the swamp's sliding tongue, blackish water, acid quick, incorporates all that languishes helplessly until the subtle misery of mold tainting the hibiscus, the camellia, before they droop, imperfect, still ripely gorgeous. Garrulous and certain, the matriarch presiding on a veranda catches disillusionment and holds shut the trap of a strung and steely fist, her oblique gaze casting a diagonal through simple understanding. A fragrant rain approaches.
New Highway by B.R., Betty Ruth Culbertson, dear friend of Sally Mook. Betty Ruth died suddenly on June 1st. Gone the pasture, gone the field, gone the meadow with its yield of Queen Anne's lace and killdeer's nest. Gone the ridge with rocky crest, gone the distant mountain view where the stream meandered through. Gone the soft enfolding hills. Gone now space the highway fills. Before Meredith leads us in meditation hymn number 6, she will be sharing with us her haiku, Life.
Life is not static, evolving, growing, changing, become as you go.
This morning, we have no traditional sermon, oration, lecture, or homily. Instead, we have these next poems that speak of life, mortality, and the passage of time. The first poem in this section is Metal Anniversary by Leah Mehta, written to her husband on the occasion of their sixth wedding anniversary. And Leah is a daughter of member Avi Shrove. A quiet steel river winds its way from our place in the trees to that old town where we slipped bands of gold on each other's fingers, handmade in a factory 10,000 miles away, where once I walked every day on a mottled tar road near a rusted Arabian sea. Heavy like iron, you expect the years to sit, but they are light, like dreams of blue copper domes. Not cold, like steel on this winter's day, but warm like your mouth and this well-heated apartment. Not hard like titanium, aloof and unchangeable, but soft, like cesium butter spread on fresh baked bread. We can be lighter, warmer, softer, kinder, better. This day reminds me of that. Now, Aaron Martin.
Hi. This poem is called Things I Forgot. It was written on a very snowy beach in Salem, Massachusetts. Half a foot of snow, and you not even in your boots, with a champagne bottle against your thigh and a pair of blue glass goblets. Secondhand, pretty in the shard of moon, slanting down the pebbles, the cold sand of the beach. There is always ocean enough to make an offering. There is always a siren who teaches you to love. And so you make a pilgrimage from parking lot down the cliffside, fall laughing in the snow. When you reach the water, the cork pops into the waves, bubbles rise like mist, and you pour the champagne into her hair.
And George Lally is our next reader.
In Memory of W.B. Yeats by Auden, written on the eve of World War II. He disappeared in the dead of winter. The brooks were frozen, the airports almost deserted, and snow disfigured the public statues. The mercury sank in the mouth of the dying day. What instruments we have agree. The day of his death was a dark, cold day. Far from his illness, the wolves ran on through the evergreen forests. The peasant river was untempted by the fashionable quays. By mourning tongues, the death of the poet was kept from his poems. But for him, it was his last afternoon as himself, an afternoon of nurses and rumors. The provinces of his body revolted, the squares of his mind were empty, silence invaded the suburbs. The current of his feeling failed. He became his admirers. Now he is scattered among 100 cities, and wholly given over to unfamiliar affections, to find his happiness in another kind of wood and be punished under a foreign code of conscience. The words of a dead man are modified in the guts of the living. But in the importance and noise of tomorrow, when the brokers are roaring like beasts on the floor of the bourse, and the poor have the suffering to which they are fairly accustomed, and each in the cell of himself is almost convinced of his freedom, a few thousand will think of this day as one thinks of a day when one did something slightly unusual. What instruments we have agree, the day of his death was a dark, cold day. You were silly like us. Your gift survived it all. The parish of rich women, physical decay, yourself. Mad Ireland hurt you into poetry. Now Ireland has her madness and her weather still. For poetry makes nothing happen. It survives in the valley of its making, where executives would never want to tamper, flows on south from ranches of isolation and the busy griefs. Raw towns that we believe and die in, it survives, a way of happening, a mouth. Earth, receive an honored guest. William Yeats is laid to rest. Let the Irish vessel lie emptied of its poetry. In the nightmare of the dark, all the dogs of Europe bark, and the living nations wait, each sequestered in its hate. Intellectual disgrace stares from every human face, and the seas of pity lie locked and frozen in each eye. Follow, poet, follow right to the bottom of the night. With your unconstraining voice, still persuade us to rejoice. With the farming of a verse, make a vineyard of the curse. Sing of human unsuccess in a rapture of distress. In the deserts of the heart, let the healing the healing fountain start. In the prison of his days, teach the free man how to praise.
Jim.
This is from Ulysses by Alfred Lord Tennyson. It's Ulysses speaking to what remains of his crew. You and I are old. Old age hath yet his honor and his toil. Death closes all, but something ere the end, some work of noble note may yet be done. Not unbecoming men that strove with gods. The lights begin to twinkle from the rocks. The long day wanes. The slow moon climbs. The deep moans around with many voices. Come, my friends, 'tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows, for my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die. It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the happy isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides. And though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Poetry can do many things to us. As Emily Dickinson says, it can make us feel like the tops of our heads have been taken off. It can inspire. It can move us to tears. Whatever else the poems shared here this morning have done for you, may these last poems leave you with hope, the hope of change. Our next reader is Noe Moore.
Hi, I'm going to be reading Let America Be America Again by Langston Hughes. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain seeking a home where he himself is free. America was never America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be the great strong land of love, or never king connive or tyrant scheme, that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draw your veil across the stars? I'm the poor white, fold and pushed apart. I'm the Negro bearing slavery scars. I'm the red man driven from his land. I'm the immigrant clutching hope that I seek, and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I'm the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that endless ancient chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the way of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker, sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean. Hungry yet today despite the dream. Beaten yet today, O pioneers. I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker, bartered through the years. Yet I am the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned, that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I am the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home, for I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shores of Poland's plains and England's grassy lee, and torn from black Africa's stand, I came to build a homeland for the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today. The millions shot down when we strike. The millions who have nothing for our pay. For all the dreams we've dreamed and all the songs we sung and all the hopes we've held and all the flags we've hung. The millions who have nothing for our pay except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that has never yet been, and yet must be, the land where every man is free, the land that's mine, the poor man, the Indian, the Negro, me. Who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry and plow in the rain, must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose, the steel of freedom does not stain, for those who live like leeches on people's lives, we must take our land back again, America. Oh yes, I say it plain, America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again.
I Am Waiting by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. This poem was suggested by Melanie Bussard. I am waiting for my case to come up, and I am waiting for a rebirth of wonder, and I am waiting for someone to really discover America and wail. And I am waiting for the discovery of a new symbolic Western frontier. And I am waiting for the American eagle to really spread its wings and straighten up and fly right. And I am waiting for the age of anxiety to drop dead. And I am waiting for the war to be fought, which will make the world safe for an anarchy. And I am waiting for the final withering away of all governments. And I am perpetually awaiting. I am awaiting a rebirth of wonder. I am waiting for the second coming, and I am waiting for a religious revival to sweep through the state of Arizona. And I am waiting for the grapes of wrath to be restored. And I am waiting for them to prove that God is really American. And I am waiting to see God on television, piped onto church altars, if only they can find the right channel to tune in on. And I am waiting for the Last Supper to be served again with a strange new appetizer. And I am perpetually awaiting a rebirth of wonder. I am waiting for my number to be called. And I am waiting for the Salvation Army to take over. And I am waiting for the meek to be blessed and inherit the earth without taxes. And I am waiting for forests and animals to reclaim the earth as theirs. and I am waiting for a plan to be devised to destroy all nationalisms without killing anybody. And I am waiting for linnets and planets to fall like rain. And I am waiting for lovers and weepers to lie down together again in a new rebirth of wonder. I am waiting for the great divide to be crossed, and I am anxiously awaiting for the secret of eternal life to be discovered by an obscure general practitioner. And I am waiting for the storms of life to be over, and I am waiting to set sail for happiness, and I am waiting for a reconstructed Mayflower to reach America with its picture story and TV rights sold in advance to the natives. And I am waiting for the lost music to sound again in the lost continent in a new rebirth of wonder. I am waiting for the day that maketh all things clear, and I am awaiting retribution for what America did to Tom Sawyer, and I am waiting for Alice in Wonderland to retransmit to me her total dream of innocence. And I am waiting for Child Roland to come to the final darkest tower. And I am waiting for Aphrodite to grow live arms at a final disarmament conference in a new rebirth of wonder. I am waiting to get some intimations of immortality by recollecting on my early childhood. And I am waiting for the green mornings to come again. Youth's dumb green fields come back again. And I am waiting for some strains of unpremeditated art to shake my typewriter. And I am waiting to write the great, intelligible poem. And I am waiting for the last long, careless rapture. And I am perpetually waiting for the fleeing lovers on the Grecian urn to catch up each other at last and embrace. And I am waiting perpetually and forever a renaissance of wonder. We close with this haiku. Go now inspired, wear wonder into this world, seize beauty for all. Blessed be, and may it be so.